meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
And good Monday afternoon. This is Mary Helen Fiorito. I am the Cardinal Francis George at the Ethics and Public Policy Center. Cardinal Francis George Fellow, I should say. I'm not Cardinal George. At the Ethics and Public Policy Center in Washington, D.C., and the DeNicola Center for Ethics and Culture at the University of Notre Dame. And it is my privilege, along with our new co-host, Loretta Freilich, to be sitting in today for Father Anthony here on listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. Loretta, welcome.
Well, thank you, Mary. It's great to be here.
I didn't scare you off last week, and you came back.
Always
I'm
for
so
you,
happy.
Mary.
I'm so
always
happy.
For you.
Listeners, this is really going to be a wonderful show now that I'll have a co-host. Loretta may be here by herself on some Mondays and I by myself, and we'll try to co-host as much as we can to bring to you the most interesting guests and intelligent conversation from a Catholic woman's perspective on the matters of the day, and to amplify the Catholic women's voice on this program. And hopefully it will be of benefit to women and men and people of all ages. So we have a good show lined up for you today, as we hope to do every week. And this week, we're going to be sort of getting into, if this was a normal non-COVID year, the month of January always includes multiple buildups to the Great March for Life in Washington, D.C., probably the greatest consistent, continuous human rights march in the history of our country, going strong since, I think, the first one, which actually, here's a little fun fact, the National March for Life, the one that now takes place in Washington, D.C., was actually started in Chicago around the kitchen table of seven Chicago moms who really wanted to do something for, right after Roe was legalized, and came up with this idea of the March for Life, and sold individual roses at their parishes to raise money. And that's why the rose, that red rose, is the symbol of the March for Life to this day. So obviously, because of COVID, most people will not be traveling. I'm really disappointed. Loretta, you've been to the march. You know what?
I've been to every single one of them.
Yeah, I've been. I went 10 years in a row and then started having children, and so that became a little more difficult, and then so took a little hiatus when my kids were small, and now for the last 10 years have been back to going every year again. And you just come away so joyful and enthused and motivated, don't you?
You do, and it's such an uplifting opportunity, because truly we are in the trenches on the life issue in our parishes, in our villages, our towns, our city, and yet you get together with these powerhouses of God, the women, the geniuses that the Lord has placed in those local communities and parishes, and you just get energized, you get new mm-hmm. ideas, and you know God's called you to this work.
Right. And it's so, what I just love about the march is, you know, and you get a wide variety of people at the march. This is not all, you know, just Catholic priests and nuns and Catholic families, although there are a significant number of them at the march. But, you know, you have people from all walks of life. You had, you know, Democrats for Life and Atheists for Life and pro-life secular humanists and the Pro-Life Alliance of Gays and Lesbians. And so it really, you know, runs the gamut of all religious traditions and people of every faith and no faith. People with whom we might not agree on every moral issue, but we all agree on the sanctity of, human life and the right of the unborn not to be privately killed in this country. So between Dred Scott being overturned and the, you know, the Roe decision, theoretically at least, every person in this country was protected from the moment of conception. And after Roe, we took an entire class of people, as we did with Dred Scott, said they're not really human and worthy of protection, not even the protection to be killed. And Cardinal George pointed this out. You know, we've been in conflict ever since, especially because the Loretta is an attorney, for those of you who weren't listening last week, a former federal state prosecutor for the Cook County State's Attorney's Office. And so, of course, is well aware of the Roe decision and its companion case, Doe versus Bolton, which legalized abortion for all 9 months for any reason, overturning the laws of 47 states who had pretty strict abortion laws already in the book. Of course, California and Colorado and New York had opened up their abortion laws about 5 years before Roe, 67, 68. But pretty much every other state in the nation, through state legislatures, through a democratic process, had decided, the people had decided themselves in those states that they did not want to have widespread abortion. In one fell swoop, the Supreme Court overturned every single one of those laws, made them unconstitutional. And it has been a difficult and uphill battle ever since. But,
amen.
But again, just to go back to the march, you know, there are now, of course, there's new scrutiny upon these sort of larger marches that happen in Washington. And, you know, certainly this is not to condone any of those who initiated violence, who partook in violence or destruction of property at the Capitol after the March for America, I think is what it was called. But, you know, I have heard from a number of people I know who were there that this was about 100,000 people.
Oh, they think there was like a lot more than that.
Yeah,
they
but
think
at least,
it was like a million.
Yeah.
And
it was a massively big march.
Right. And what I found really interesting is that the assault on the Capitol started before the march, the speeches and all the people were moving away from the initial location.
Right.
So I think we're going to find a lot more interesting factoids coming out.
You know what? I hope so, because, you know, I keep thinking about, which is why I've been, obviously, if anyone says, you know, do you support the violence? I was interviewed by Crux, which is a Catholic, National Catholic News publication. And I said, you know, I listened to the president's remarks. They did not. If I had heard them, I would not have gotten an idea in my head that said, go smash in Nancy Pelosi's window and take selfies in her chair. That did not come across to me. But maybe that's just how I was raised. And I don't think the majority of people took it that way. Were there people infiltrating? It seems at least at some small level there were. You know, I can't speak to the motives of the people who took it upon themselves to do that. And, you know, civil disobedience is one thing. Peaceful, nonviolent civil disobedience is a, you know, a protected sort of, you know, theory in our country, at least, you know, for people who are looking for justice and social justice. But, you know, obviously violence never has a place in that. That doesn't come from God.
No. And scripture tells us in Timothy, pray for your leaders so that you may have peace in the land.
Yes.
So really the challenge to us as Catholics, as Catholic women, are we praying for our leaders?
Right.
And you know, seriously, not just President Trump.
Yeah.
Are we praying for Nancy Pelosi? Are we praying for Chuck Schumer?
Yeah.
Are we praying for those that have ideologies that go against our faith?
Right.
And so that's really our challenge. You know, it's easy to pray for the guys that we see as the good guys, but are we also praying for all of our leaders so that we may have peace in our land?
Right. No, that is I have no objection to that, and that is a very good point. What I was starting to say, I remember. So this would have been 2 years ago at the March for Life. You know, the situation with the boys from Covington Catholic High School, particularly a young junior, upperclassman named Nick Salmon, who was approached by, you know, a Native American man who was sort of an activist, and, you know, was standing with there like an awkward 15, 16-year-old would stand there if a man came up and started pounding a drum in his face, did not mock him. You know, in fact, when kids around him began to do something, he turned to them and silenced them. But boy, the rush to judgment on that one. And a lot of this is reminding me of that same rush to judgment. And I remember kind of getting in some Twitter conversations and arguments with people that, you know, that how could I be so blind? And this kid, you know, who was that late night talk show host who said he had the most punchable face ever?
Which one? Jimmy Kimmel?
Yeah,
well, Stephen Colbert?
Right. No, the more obnoxious one. And his name is blanking in my mind, which is probably good. And I just remember thinking, this doesn't sound right to me. Something's wrong here. Because, you know, and I had, for the last like 6 or 7 years, I have spoken to 90 to 120 students from Tampa Jesuit High School and New Orleans Jesuit High School. So I have all these kids with me. You know, you couldn't find nicer kids.
No.
I mean, offering to carry my bag for me and, you know, just after we finished with the talk. And if you go to a Catholic school and you go to the march with your school, you know, step one foot out of line, and that's a possible suspension or expulsion. I mean, those kids are really held on a pretty tight rein. And then it turns out, I have a priest friend who presided at the funeral of one of my closest friends in St. Louis. And so I had met him. I'd gone down for my friend's father's funeral. And he was there. He was standing about five, 6 feet away, and he saw everything. And he said these Black Hebrew Israelites, who were among the main instigators, came over to him and started saying the most vulgar things, like, you're a priest, and, like, who have you molested today, you know, Father Hands, and they were, like, threatening him. And the boys from Cummington came over and formed a circle around him and said, don't worry, Father, we'll protect you, Father, nothing's going to happen.
God bless them.
Oh, he said, you know, he said those boys were standing there simply waiting for their bus. I witnessed all of this. They were not the aggressors. They came over to try to protect me. He's probably 72 or something
that.
And they stood with me until I was safe and could exit the situation. But he said, I watched the whole thing and what the mainstream media is saying, you know. And now, of course, CNN, I think, had to pay out something, $33 million. They call Nick Salmon now the most highly paid correspondent at CNN because of the massive settlement and the rush to judgment without verifying facts. So, anyway, all that's to lead into our conversation and our guest for part of the show today, who is Kevin Griot. Kevin is the executive director of a wonderful pro-life organization here in the state of Illinois called We Dignify. And We Dignify is helping to coordinate what will be sort of a very different way of having the Chicago March for Life this year. But a way I think that's going to be effective and hopefully will allow people to continue to participate in some kind of meaningful way in what has become sort of an annual tradition. So, Kevin Griot, thank you so much for being with us today. It's such a joy to have you on the show. This is Mary and Loretta.
Hey, Mary, Loretta, great to be here. I'm excited to be on today.
Great to have you, Kevin, talking about one of our favorite January freezing cold events, the March for Life. And I really got to thank you. Putting us in the car means my 92-year-old mother can join me in the caravan. So right. I'm really excited to hear about your plans for this event.
Yeah, Kevin, can you start by telling us how this is a little bit different this year? What, because it's already started. I know you're the events. Can you tell us what you've done so far and what we in the Chicago area can expect?
Absolutely. I think I want to step back for a second because 9 years ago, the March for Chicago was like about 100, 150 people and a bullhorn on a sidewalk.
No, I remember. I spoke at that. I have a picture of myself with said bullhorn speaking at it.
And I was there.
Yeah, Loretta was there. You drove me that day. That's right.
That's
was me and Dan Proft.
Yes.
And you drove me. I remember it well.
So to be there, and then last year, actually on this day 1 year ago, the March for Chicago is January 11th, 2020, and we had 9,000 people flooding the streets.
Yes.
So,
and you know who gets credit for that ultimately is Cardinal George, because two members of the Catholic lay movement, Couples for Christ, Margie and Manny Hermano, came to meet with Cardinal George and said, Cardinal, someone needs to take control of this march. It can't be 100 people. And the Cardinal, of course, then pulls me into the office and says, will you take charge of this? I was like, oh, please don't make me do this. But we put together a great coalition. Kevin, you were at that first meeting. I think, Lorna, were you there as well? No, maybe not. But we got a bunch of the lay movements. And
we did get the lay movements involved.
And the Cardinal provided from his own personal charity account some of the funding. And we really made this into a thing.
Absolutely. And the, I mean, the Hermanos continue to be a great support of it. They're bringing people from Indiana, as they have for many years. So we just started looking at those roots and continuing to be a witness in the public square. We had to figure out a way of how this year. So we weren't going to just let it go quietly in the night or just, and we knew Chicago was going to be a tough dynamic.
Yeah.
So last year was a growth, though. The thing is, it was started out as a lot of Chicago people, and I'm glad, Mary, to hear when you said, you know who gets all the credit? I was like, don't say you're Bullhorn and you.
No.
I was like, this is a guy go to
as
Cardinal Shores.
As fabulous as I was, it was not the Bullhorn and me.
Okay, I was like, wait a minute.
Where is she going with this?
I think the thing is, we had buses coming. I mean, 9 buses alone from Wisconsin came last year. Multiple buses have come from Indiana. This has grown not just looking at Chicago and not just the suburbs, but this has grown to some being the largest march in the Midwest. So
yes,
when
right.
we're faced with the unique challenges here, we're like, how do we still continue to serve as so what you guys started talking about with the gathering together brings so much energy.
Yes.
And we have so many people in the trenches that are working day in and day out. And the march serves as such an inspiration point and a community point. And we wanted to, how do we continue to bring hope to all the people who come out? So I'm actually calling in right now. I'm in Des Moines, Iowa. So I'm hundreds of miles from Chicago.
Okay.
Because we started on January 2nd, we started in Madison. So this year we're doing an entire tour called Move the Movement Tour. And we have set up car rallies across several different Midwest states that start every weekend, building up back to March Around Chicago on January 23rd. So we just had one yesterday in Omaha, Nebraska, and hundreds of people came out. And you're right about the family element, Mary. I'm glad your grandmother can join. We have grandmothers, we have grandkids, we have a family in their minivan. We're in there, some in their 12-passenger van, not so many. But we have hundreds of cars joining us at the car rallies, hearing incredible speakers, and then doing a massive car procession through downtown areas with signs decorating their cars. It's a highly visible thing. Horns were honking, waving was happening, all kinds of continued public visibility. So we are using this time to build up to come back to Chicago, where already hundreds of people have registered, hundreds of cars are now coming on January 23rd.
Okay, so fantastic. So let's just back up. So take me back to maybe September, October, when you all were planning this. I'm not sure that many of the listeners may be familiar with the new format. So can you start with explaining that, Kevin, please, and then letting us know where you've been thus far and who's next on sort of the tour?
Sure, sure. When we look at the COVID factors and really the high regulation in Chicago, we anticipated what ended up being true. We still applied for and went for heavily for permits to be able to have a rally. And in order to do that, and whether we're in Federal Plaza or Daley Plaza, you have to get the permits for that. And those were rejected. So rather than just saying, okay, we're only going to march where there's no engagement and inspiring speakers, the question was, how do we still deliver a motivational element to this? And so we planned on how do we go to the people. And so when someone comes or participates in this, the rally is in your car. You're in a large parking lot, whether that be a Catholic high school, whether it be a next weekend we're in a Lutheran seminary, whether it be at an Alliant Energy Center with a civic center up in Madison. So you come, you check in. We're actually doing a massive diaper drive with this. So people are bringing diapers as part of the collection. So they pull in your car, you tune in to the radio to be able to hear the speakers, and you can see them in on a large stage, very similar to a rally. If you show up late, you're towards the back, but that's the case anyway at any rally. And then after, so there's several speakers that you're listening to in your car. You've given your diapers. You have received some great information about local organizations in each place. You've heard from different pregnancy resource center speakers or congressmen or key religious leaders. And then following, you follow this massive van that we have that's wrapped with a March for Chicago image and a couple other images and signs, and we process them with cars through major areas of the town we're in. So the first one was January 2nd in Madison, Wisconsin. and we went around the Capitol several times with hundreds of cars.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Going through. And then this past weekend, we were in Omaha, Nebraska, just yesterday, and processed through major downtown areas. We were on Dodge Street, which is a big street in Omaha. I am learning a little bit about, you know, we're pretty far out here. We're about 500 miles from Chicago.
Right.
But next weekend on the docket, we're going to Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Okay.
And where Reverend Dr. Harrison, who's the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, will be speaking. He has been a longtime partner with the March for Our Chicago as well. So we'll be in Fort Wayne on Saturday evening. And then we turn around, hit the road, and we're in Mundelein, Illinois, on Sunday at 1 o'clock, where we will have Cardinal Supich will be speaking along with several other key leaders, as well as Pat McCaskey will be there from the Bears and a couple other speakers in Mundelein, which is at the Carmel Catholic High School.
Okay.
The parking lot there.
Yep.
Then
yep.
After the 17th, we loop down to Indianapolis, Indiana, on the 22nd. It's a Friday. And then we jump up to Chicago, where we bring it all back home.
Saving the best for last, right? Okay.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. That's the rundown of the tour, and we're live streaming each stop. So already thousands, we have over 1,000 views on Madison, over 1,000 views on Omaha, and people can hear from wherever they're at now these great speakers.
Oh, it's a really terrific idea. And so we'd like to hear a little bit more, as since the majority of our listeners are from the Chicago area and, you know, going as far as South Bend, actually. So I'd love to hear a little bit more about the Mundelein, Fort Wayne, and Chicago pieces of this. Kevin, we're going to go into our first break. Can you stay with us over to the second half of the show?
Can do. Looking forward to it.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. So listeners, please do stay tuned for our conversation with Kevin Grillo about the Chicago March for Life. Actually, I should say the Midwest March for Life is what it seems to have turned into. No one's marching. It's a drive, so the Midwest Drive for Life. This is Mary Fiorito and Loretta Fralick sitting in for Father Anthony today here on listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Here's good news about a great school with in-person instruction for your child. Father Anthony is asking you to send your children to St. Stanislaus Koska Academy for in-person instruction. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy offers excellence by educating the mind, heart, and spirit of your child with faith, virtue, and honor. Cost should not be an obstacle to enrolling your child at St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. We have scholarships and financial aid available to fit all budgets. Anyone who wants to give their child a Catholic education can do so at St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is an elementary school offering grades pre-kindergarten through 8th grade and is located minutes from downtown Chicago, one block north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy. Call the school office at 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. Or visit ststandschicago.org. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy.
The Winds of Change. The Winds of Change. On AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Koska is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site to register and to participate in the Holy Mass. And for more information, go to ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Koska Church is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
Welcome back. This is Loretta Fralick and Mary Fiorito on Winds of Change, and we are talking with Kevin Greenow about the upcoming March for Life on January 23rd, 2021. Kevin, can you tell me first, before we share some more information about the March for Life, How did you become involved in pro-life?
I think I blame everything on my parents.
That's too easy. You got to come on. Seriously.
No, I mean, my mom lobbied at the federal and state level, but she's been running a baby food drive for 40 years. And I started helping her, you know, carry the pallets of a formula in because I got out of a day of grade school. So I even got a lunch out to eat.
I hear you.
I was motivated by the lunch. However, it set me on quite the trajectory. And so my mom is continuing to serve as that witness. And then also, it came from belief to reality when my sister experienced an unplanned pregnancy. And so being able to walk with her and see my niece now, who is almost 18 years old,
praise
and knowing
God.
Her life and the blessings that she has brought to our family really shaped and put me on quite the trajectory to
praise
continue to stand
God.
For life.
Well, you know, I think I got to blame my mom, too, because as a kid, she used to load all four of us, my brother and my two sisters and me, into the Lavender station wagon. And off we'd go on an incredible outdoor adventure to a pro-life rally. And Joe Scheidler, when I was a kid, handed me my very first public statement, a beautiful picture, a sad picture of the baby parts. Flowing out of a jar. And it was then that I realized these babies are my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I cannot walk away. How about you, Mir? How did you become involved in pro-life? Because you are like the face of pro-life in Chicago.
Oh, I don't know about that. There's a lot of faces. I mean, Chicago really is, God really gifted, I think, the city of Chicago in a very prophetic way. Like I said, the March for Life started in Chicago. Very prominent pro-life groups, not only, as you mentioned, Joe Scheidler and his Pro-Life Action League, but Americans United for Life,
yes.
One of the preeminent pro-life pro bono law firms, began in Chicago. So it's interesting. We're in the center of the country, and we really became sort of an epicenter that
yes.
then spread outwards. And you know what also is interesting is Chicago was the city where there was one of the very first exposés on what was really going on in abortion clinics pre-Roe. The Chicago Sun-Times, you know, hardly a liberal newspaper, did a investigative series by a very well-known investigative reporter in Chicago named Pam Zekman called I think it was called The Abortion Profiteers. You can Google the whole series, where they went into and this was 5 years after Roe, right, into the different abortion clinics undercover and discovered, I mean, women who were coming out with massive infections, having
yes.
to have hysterectomies, the filthy conditions.
Yes.
I mean, everything that we saw in Gosnell, right, we saw
exactly.
previously here in Chicago. So Chicago was really one of the first, I think that was the first place there had been a real behind-the-scenes investigation into what kind of bad medicine was being practiced in abortion clinics. And then, of course, in Chicago also, where the remains of more than 2,000 unborn children were found. This is in the late 80s by two wonderful pro-life activists, Tim Murphy and Peter Crumley, who
yes.
found the remains of these unborn children of all different areas of gestational age and rescued them and kept them respectfully. And then Cardinal Joseph Bernardine, who was the predecessor of Cardinal George, did a beautiful mass funeral
at
Queen of Heaven Cemetery.
I was there.
Yeah,
it's magnificent.
And they, so I think there's 2,300 fetal remains buried there in two different caskets. It's a very beautiful memorial to the unborn. So that's just sort of all to say, you know, Chicago was really the epicenter. But, you know, I had, like you, Loretta, parents who were very good, very pro-life. One of my youngest sisters was born just shortly after Roe was decided. And my mother's OBGYN, of course, 95% of all OBGYNs in that age were profoundly pro-life. And he was talking to my mother about it. And I remember my mother kind of telling me, and just, you know how it's like you're fourth or fifth grade and you're trying to comprehend, wait, someone would kill a baby? Like, you don't even, you know, it reminds me, my youngest daughter, as you know, was in the NICU at Loyola for about a month after she was born. And my little ones, you know, would come in and you see all these NICU babies. And then you try to explain this to your kids that, no, there are some people who think, and they just can't, it's too much for them to comprehend.
Right.
So we were in seventh grade, and Sister Eileen, who was my seventh grade teacher, we all had to write a letter to the president asking him to do what he could to overturn Roe. So that was my first little act of activism. And then in college, I wasn't, as an undergrad, I wasn't so much, but in law school, I began to meet more and more people who were actively involved as attorneys in the pro-life movement. I met Helen Alvarez, who
yes.
became the bishop's spokesperson on pro-life issues. And I just remember sitting in front of the Blessed Sacrament, reading the story about her, and I thought, that's the kind of job I want. I want to be a pro-life lawyer. And so without my saying much to anyone, that right before I graduated from law school, Cardinal Bernardine approached me personally and asked me when I graduated, would I take over the pro-life office of the Archdiocese? There had been a transition in staff, and he wanted, because the Bishop's Conference had hired a younger woman lawyer, he wanted a younger woman lawyer hiring, you know, directing his office. So that's how it all started. And I had other offers, and, you know, are there days I wish I had maybe considered them, you know, sort of looking at my retirement account, maybe, but those years working directly in pro-life as a young lawyer were just nothing but blessings. And you just meet, like I met you, right?
Yes.
And you
yes.
meet people who become lifelong friends.
Yes.
Lifelong friends. And that's what, you know, the March for Life, I always joke, Kevin, and you can correct me if I'm wrong about this, whether it's the one in Washington or the one in Chicago, like you could drop a dollar bill on the street and then someone would come up to you and go, I think you dropped this dollar bill. Like that's how people clean up after themselves.
Yes.
You know, it
yes.
was, there was, you know, one time I was, an elderly woman fell, and there must have been 50, and mostly like these young teenage
yes.
boys, ma'am, let me help you
yes.
get up. Let me, you know,
yes.
people could not, I mean, the sense of community.
Right.
You know, you could be walking next to anyone. And I mean, I remember one time I kind of got mixed in with the Pro-Life Alliance of Gays and Lesbians, some of who were atheists. We had the nicest conversations.
Yes.
They were perfectly, you know, we were there for that one thing, and we
yes.
managed to find areas of issue in common
right.
that we discussed. And so this is what I just think the beauty of the marches is that it takes so many disparate people, you know, from backgrounds that, again, may not agree with us on every social or moral issue. But this is the common, because of our common humanity,
yes.
our common humanity unites us.
Yes. And, you know, coming off of the most pro-life president in America's history, in Donald Trump, it's really, I really thought that, wow, I can hand over my pro-life baton to a younger person and to be faced with the candidate who's not even, has absolutely no credentials in life. If anything, he has anti-life credentials. It makes this year's march. Well, that's another show.
Right.
But it makes this year's March for Life so much more important. We need to let everybody know. So, Kevin, tell us, what's going to happen at the march? When we get in our cars, how do we do this?
Yeah.
How do we register?
Go to marchforlifechicago.org.
Okay.
And then each, on the event details, has registration for each site. Because if you're listening in from South Bend, you can find one of your own domers who'll be speaking in Fort Wayne. That's State Senator Liz Brown will be speaking there.
Okay.
But on the 23rd, so go to the website. You're going to find lots of information, but you get that registration link. It tells you the details, where to go, how to drive. But you got to get your car decorated. Get out those messages. Find your window paint. Or if you want to sign up to be a caravan captain, we're shipping signs
okay.
to people that sign up. So we've had several different churches gather in their parking lot, get their cars decorated, the signs up, the visibility is high, and then they all drive in to, on the 23rd, it's going to be at St. John Cantus, and mm-hmm. you will tune in after you sign up. We'll be able to tune in to the rally as we move, and really, I'm very excited for Chicago and building back up, because this route is going to take us right past all the places that we have marched. So you're going to see the Thompson Center. You're going to see the Federal Plaza. You're going to go right by Michigan Avenue, where we have grown to be. We started out there. Last year, we marched down there. This year, we're going to continue to have so much visibility. And then we'll end at the Southside Pregnancy Center for the diaper drop-off.
So we need to bring diapers with us.
Yes, bring diapers. We have, our goal is to raise 130,000 diapers, because that's the amount of lives lost to abortion in the Midwest every year. And so bring your diapers, show a tangible sign. And Mary, one of the things we have talked about before is not just, pro-birth, we just could choose life. This is a very visible sign that we the pro-life community does so much to support women who are choosing life and along the way,
yes.
Not just in that decision, but throughout.
Right.
And we have so many great pregnancy resource centers. Aid for Women is going to be receiving diapers at our Mundelein stop. So we've been able to really flood some diapers and tangible support. So bring your diapers, maybe a big pack, you know, maybe don't spring for a small pack. Maybe you want,
head to a big pack store.
Right. And, you know, just as Kevin knows, I had the privilege of serving on the Aid for Women Board of Directors for 22 years, I think. And I can just tell you in terms of need, diapers are often the things that go first and are really in need. You know, diapers are one of these things that I think should be tax exempt in terms of purchases that parents make, but diapers of all sizes. So remember, you know, we not only the newborn sizes, which of course are important for the moms living and just giving birth in our maternity homes, but also, you know, the diapers that are a little bit older, the size 2 and size 3. And Kevin, you have 3 little ones now?
I do. Well, 5, 4, and 1. So when you were talking about
the bigger sizes, right? Yeah.
Yeah, my daughter was actually in the NICU last year.
How did I not know that?
I was surrounded.
surrounded.
It was a little busy during the time last year.
I know. How is she doing?
She's doing well.
Great.
But it really hit home to be able to see so many lives surrounded, like these fragile, small, incredible and beautiful humans, and then to be going to March right after in Illinois, there's no value.
Right. Oh, my goodness. No. And Illinois, we taxpayers fund it. So for those of you who don't know, Illinois has, completely tax-free, taxpayer-funded abortions, not only for people who live here, but for people who live out of state. You can come in. There's something in the law called the principle of presumed eligibility for Medicare, for Medicaid. And all you need to do is simply certify that you would qualify for Medicaid. Should you decide to move to the state of Illinois, and then all of a sudden you are eligible for your free abortion in the state of Illinois. And, clinics, for example, there's a clinic, Family Planning Associates, right at the intersection of the Kennedy Expressway and Washington Street, that if you just Google them, they'll tell you we can help you pay for this abortion through our state Medicaid fund. And they do elective abortions. So healthy mom, healthy baby, right up through the 6 months, so to the end of the 24th week. And actually, that age could even be a little bit older because it's the abortionist who gets to determine the fetal age prior to the procedure being done. And I have a friend, in fact, she's just moved to Michigan, but for many years was the sort of a consistent prayer presence every Saturday morning. She said the most heartbreaking ones were the women who were visibly pregnant, going in to terminate their children. So it is particularly discouraging here in Illinois, which is why those alternatives to abortion are so important and so necessary here,
right?
Because of our numbers. I mean, I just went and spoke at Wisconsin Right to Life. This was just before the lockdown, so maybe a year ago. And they always do this beautiful presentation, you know, where they show how much their abortion stats are going down. And it is through a lot of their hard work. They do what's it called when you can you can send someone a message on their phone, not micro targeting. It's Kevin, do you know what I'm talking about? It's a technological term, geofencing. They can
geofence. Geofencing is where they're at.
Right. Yeah. So they can geofence women who are actually sitting inside abortion clinics. So they have brought their numbers down significantly. But then I always have to be the one to burst the bubble to say, yeah, but a lot of those women are just coming right over the border into Illinois, which is why Planned Parenthood built its brand new clinic that was allowed to open in the middle of the pandemic in Waukegan, Illinois, right on the Wisconsin border. That was done intentionally. And then, of course, their other new clinic is down in southern Illinois, right on the Missouri border, also done intentionally. So anyway, Kevin, I don't want to get too far into the weeds. Go ahead. Pardon me.
Kevin,
you're giving a clear argument as to why we need to come out strong in Chicago.
Right, exactly.
The source of the problem here, we've already raised 23,456 diapers. But we have a little over 100,000 to go. So, Chicago, I'm going to need you to pick up some diapers here.
Okay.
Way there, the big box, okay?
Who
help us out here.
All right. Now, in addition to bringing diapers and donating those to the pregnancy resource centers, who are the speakers that we're going to hear from?
Yeah, in Mundelein, I'm really excited. Melissa Avila-Lobos.
Okay.
Who you may, are you familiar with Melissa's story at all?
Is she the former Planned Parenthood clinic worker?
It's actually Linda Curry who will also be speaking.
Oh, Linda's marvelous. I know Linda. She's terrific.
She's fantastic. Melissa is actually, it was due to a miracle that's been attributed to St. John Henry Newman. That led to his canonization.
Yes.
But it was a difficult pregnancy and his intercession that saved her child and herself.
Yep.
And I'm getting chills thinking about it, and I can't wait to hear from her up in Mundelein on the 17th. We're actually, you know, if you like listening to Mary right now, you're going to hear from her more on the 23rd.
Man, who doesn't love hearing from Mary?
So we are excited to have Mary. Actually, Pastor Mark Jobe, who is the head of the Moody Bible Institute, will also be joining us on the 23rd. And some really big names that continue to show up. Mark Curran is going to come out and speak in Mundelein, as well as the mayor of Mundelein, Steve Lentz, is going to be there, along with Linda, who I mentioned. And we have several more speakers that we're rolling out for Chicago in the next, you know, we're still a couple days away, but we'll be dropping some additional great speakers.
Well, that's even better, Kevin. That means we can register and we can come to the event. And in addition to hearing Pastor Mark Jobe from Moody, we can hear Mary Fiorito and be surprised. Add a little mystery to your event.
There is some mystery. I can tell you from the responses of all the people that we have a survey that goes out after the event. People are excited and floored. After the car procession, we park the van, and they all wave going by, but we have heard, okay, great, I'm going to do this now. I'm going to get involved in this. Oh, this organization looks wonderful. And the excitement that's building, you don't want to miss this.
No, you don't.
Sure, it's different, but it's still going to bring that same, like, wow, we're together in this.
And, you know, one of the things I've always loved about the actual march in Chicago, when those high school kids show up in their yellow bus and their yellow T-shirts, their sweatshirts, and the energy that they add with their van as they pull in, and they just get the crowd going. And we're in this together. We're in this together with the 90-year-olds, the middle-agers, and the young people. And it is a movement that spans all age groups. And it's really, it's exciting.
I think that speaks to, right now, so many people want to be connected. They can see the division. They can see the separation. And so many people yearn to be connected to people who share the same values and the same commitment to family and to life.
Yes.
And that's what, you know, you get a wave to them in the car, you get to see them, you're there, you're having that experience of pro-life people are awesome. You know, people who love life
have
to be awesome to
good people.
See and be,
so,
be
Kevin,
with.
Can I just ask, because I think we may have listeners who have not, because, you know, unfortunately for us, although this has never deterred most pro-lifers, but it is always in January and the weather can be, oh my gosh, do you remember the year maybe 4 or 5 years ago when it had to be 20 or 30 below? And
yes.
I went with my two older children and I think they're still cold from that, you know. It was really something in terms of, but, you know, so we didn't get a huge turnout that year, but boy, did we get, I was very, you know, very moved by the number of people who did show up, and that was really edifying. But so for those who might be saying, okay, now this is I have a, you know, whatever issue that I might have that precludes me from coming in person every year. But what can people expect? Where do they start in Chicago? Where do we meet up? And then you're driving to where? And then the speakers will be where?
Okay, so this is a great thing for anyone who is worried about the cold, because as long as your car heater works, you're going to be in great shape this year for that, which many people have appreciated. You can bring hand warmers, but I think that the vents in your car, as long as you're running your car.
Right.
People show up at St. John Cantius, and then because of the route and how we're going to drive through downtown and loop around the loop and then head to the Southside Pregnancy Center, the rally is actually going to be piped into your car. So when you register, you will hear it as you're driving and moving along.
How do you turn? What station are we going to turn to?
Now you gotta register.
Chicago.org.
Kevin, actually, if I could just pause you for a moment, we're going to go into our final break, and then when we come back, I'd like you to give everyone as specifically as you can the registration information and any of those other practical details that they'll need to know to make this a really great event. So, listeners, please don't go away. This is Mary Fiorito and Loretta Frelick sitting in today for Father Anthony here on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Here's good news about a great school with in-person instruction for your child. Father Anthony is asking you to send your children to St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy for in-person instruction. Excellence in educating the mind, heart, soul, and spirit of each student. Cost should not be an obstacle to enrolling your child at St. Stan's Academy. We have scholarships and financial aid available to fit all budgets. Everyone who wants to give their child a Catholic education can do so at St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. Faith, virtue, honor. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is an elementary school offering grades pre-kindergarten to 8th grade and is located minutes from downtown Chicago. Call the school office at 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. Or visit sdstanschicago.org for St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Floors as low.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
Get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
You've got your radio turned on to Winds of Change, where you can hear about your faith and hear about today's culture through the lens of Christ's teachings with Father Anthony Bush and others, Monday through Friday at noon on AM 750. Keep Winds of Change on by going to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to donate. And Winds of Change offers thanks for your donation.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
And welcome back. This hour has just flown by, as it always does when we have a terrific guest as we do today. Kevin Griot, the executive director of We Dignify, but also the person coordinating Chicago's March for Life this year. Hey, Kevin, we didn't actually even get to We Dignify, and I would like listeners to know a little bit about your organization. So before we finish out the hour, can you let us know a little bit about what We Dignify is and what you all do?
Absolutely. We Dignify got started out of a dorm room at the University of Illinois in Newman Hall, and a student wanted to help other students because we saw, you know, how college students are so disproportionately impacted. Their largest age group having abortions or at risk. So John Paul wanted to step up and say, how do we help out? And ever since then, we've been mentoring students into skilled, virtuous pro-life leaders in several different Illinois states or schools and continue to build out there. And that leadership formation has led us to be able to step up and lead the March for Life Chicago as well, as there's a growing number of young people continuing to pick up and continuing to say, I don't want to be a part of cancel culture. I don't want to be a part of relativism or moral relativism. I want to stand for something of truth with goodness and charity and love. And so We Dignify continues to mentor students, college students on campuses every day in and day out. whether they're there or whether we're zooming in for it, depending on the case. And we continue to step forward with that. And then the March for Our Chicago has unified in our vision for how we continue to build a culture of life, one person at a time, but now one state, one Midwest at a time. And so if you want to be a part of that and reaching college students, weidentify.org there. If you're looking for how to get to the March for Our Chicago, what the details are, go to marchforourchicago.org, the event details tab. You can click register for your stop, and you sign up for Chicago. We email all the information on how it works, because there's a QR code. There's a little bit of check-in involved, because hundreds of cars are already coming to St. John Cantius, so we'll have volunteers and ushers directing where to line up for this car rally, and how you can tune in on your radio, how we can help with the check-in and involvement. So this year is a little bit different, but still delivering this great, incredible sense of purpose and public witness that Cardinal George started us out with as a courageously witness in the public square.
Kevin, I want you to know that I just went online and registered. And I registered my car. And I want all the listeners to know how easy it is. If I can do it, anybody can do it. There's no excuse. So jump online to, is it ChicagoMarchForLife.org? And just fill out the information and sign in to register.
Well, Loretta, you're going to have to wave and say hello when you come in. I want to see you and say hello.
Well,
if
the truth
can,
is,
find you.
I'm going to find you, Kevin, because I think what you're doing is great. And I think that we're really blessed to have young people that are stepping up in the pro-life movement. And, you know, this was a challenge. How do we handle a March for Life in probably a year that it is more important than ever to tell them we won't allow 63 million babies to be aborted? And you and your organization found a creative way to wrap around the pandemic and say, guess what? We're here and we're going to tell you that we stand for life. And I really just wish you every good gift, Kevin, and every blessing on this march. We want this to be nice, warm weather so all the workers have an easier time of it. And we just want this caravan to be loud and make lots of noise and to let everybody know we stand for life.
Thank you so much. I think the hour has flown by. I've really enjoyed being on this, and I can't wait to see you all on the 23rd.
And super. And can you just give us that website one more time, Kevin?
MarchForLifeChicago.org.
Okay.
And just go to the event details tab, and you'll be able to get all the information. And Loretta's in. If Loretta can do it, you can do it too.
Right. I know. Well, I have to do it because I'm speaking. So my husband used to have this joke about, like, Respect Life Month. He would say, Respect Life Month, respected everybody's life but his. Because I wasn't home for, like, 30 straight days. And this is when, you know, as a father of three youngsters, you can imagine your wife being gone at some pro-life thing every day for 30 days. So I always say my husband contributed more to the pro-life movement than I ever did in that month because of the patience and, you know, fatherly gentleness with which he parented three young girls without mom being gone. So, well, listen, Kevin Griot, blessings to you, to all of your staff, everyone who is working with you, and count on our prayers that this march will be peaceful and prayerful.
Amen.
And we'll see you there. Listeners, please don't miss that. This is going to be a fantastic event. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks
God
so
bless
much.
You.
Okay. Well, Loretta, in the short few minutes we have left, boy, that was what an interesting and innovative way,
yes.
Right, to do this.
Yes,
you know that this is there's no pandemic that's going to stop the pro-life movement, and again, there is so much. I just kind of want to close with the way we opened, which was talking a little bit about that the unfortunate behavior of some at the. You know, allegedly Trump supporters at the Capitol last week. Please know if anyone out there is listening and is any way, shape, or form planning to do something that would not be peaceful and that would not be respectful of others, even though people are our enemies, we see Christ in them.
Amen.
They are children of God, and We lead by example. We do not lead by violence. We do not lead by hatred. We do not lead by vandalizing, whether it's government property or private property. That is not who we are as a movement. So please, if you're angry, and I understand anger, 60 million children is a lot when you think about it. But who was it that said, was it one of the great dictators? 60 million is a statistic. Six children is a tragedy, something like that. So it's hard to even kind of wrap your mind around these numbers sometimes. But please do not plan to come if you're in any way going to be expressing anger, unless it's anger expressed in an appropriate way. And
amen.
I hate to sound like your mother or your grandmother, but I feel very strongly about this. The March for Life, I don't believe there has ever been an act of violence at the March for Life. I don't believe we have ever seen anyone resort to it. In fact, it's the, you know, I remember one time we were stopped because there were so many people marching and just kind of talking to one of the park rangers that was there, you know, and I said, oh, I hope everything is going well for you. He said, are you kidding? He said, this is the easiest thing we do all year.
Amen.
He said, I have never seen a movement where more people pick up their garbage and other people's garbage than anything. So that was very,
I
got to
tell you a funny story, Mayor. One time I was on a pro-life march here in Chicago, and there were dissenters and pro-lifers.
Okay.
And the police chose to detain us. And they just put us in the police locker room.
Okay.
So at the station. Now, that tells you a couple of things right away. They're not afraid of us.
Right.
There's nothing.
Right.
But here was what happened. The pro-lifers started praying for the pro-death. And
that's interesting.
They started banging on the locker room door, screaming, let us out of here. Let us out of here.
Wow.
They're praying for us. So here's my challenge to anybody. After listening to Mary's advice, yes, we are peaceful.
Yes.
And if
always
you have
peaceful.
Always. And if you have any tendency or desire to in some way lash out or be anything less than peaceful, what we would suggest is you offer it up for that pro-choice person.
Right.
You offer it up for the woman that is going to have an abortion and has no one to counsel her.
Yeah.
You turn your anger into prayer for those individuals that are incurring your wrath. And don't think, you know, it's not all of us feeling that same frustration and just the horror of it. But offer it up. Unite that suffering with Christ on the cross. Say a prayer for their salvation, that the Lord show himself to them in a way that converts their heart to life.
Yes, that's a beautiful way. We can always, conversion of others come through as, you know, the largest abortion clinic in New York City was run by a Jewish doctor, although he was actually more of an agnostic or an atheist named Bernard Nathanson. And again, he aborted, I think, over the course of his career, I want to say 40,000.
Yes.
He had
huge
New York's
amount.
Yeah, New York's biggest abortion clinic. He'd been doing them since New York liberalized its abortion laws in 1967, including his own child when his girlfriend got pregnant.
Mm.
He aborted his own son or daughter, and he, for many years, he's the one that developed the movie The Silent Scream, because he hooked up a ultrasound machine to a woman while he was doing an abortion and watching the reaction of the child, watching the dismemberment occurring, completely had a conversion experience. But for many, many years was just considered himself a pro-life atheist. He was not a person of any faith, but did convert to Catholicism in the last few years of his life. And he said it was the love of the pro-life community that cracked the hard shell of atheism. So
Amen.
Remember, we lead with love.
Amen.
And we change lives with love. Well, listeners, this has been a beautiful afternoon to spend with you. I always enjoy doing so. On behalf of Loretta Frelick, my co-host, and myself, we thank you for joining us for Winds of Change today. Goodbye and God bless. Have a beautiful week.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now.